call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the Ten Commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And these are some of the commandments over there. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept them since I was a boy. That means he has been obedient to the word of God, for practicing the word of God for since he was a child, really. Jesus looked at him, and I like the word. Jesus looked at him with a sense of very endearing look, and the word described loved him. One thing you lack, Jesus said, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and they will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. His disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, why then? Who then can be saved? Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible. God, all things are possible. And look at the verse that I like to highlight, Mark chapter 10, verse 21 over here, which kind of opened the story and the kind of a scene over here to allow us to really appreciate what's happening. Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says over here, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Do you have that kind of very endearing moment with your children or with your wife or some stranger, like Ivanko, when she suddenly appeared in the scene with all this 7 years old, being able to sing this beautiful classical song like that? Jesus was looking at him, he was just like, very special. The reason being, not many passages in the scripture in terms of Jesus' interaction with all these people that it is actually said Jesus loved him. There were some passages that describe the relationship, how Jesus loved him, the mother, and how Jesus, the disciples who loved Jesus. And so there were incidents that describes about Jesus' relationship, but not in this manner. Basically, it shows even though Jesus loved everybody, even including his enemies and all, but somehow Jesus was attracted to this guy over here because of the four characteristics that is demonstrated about him that make him ever so endearing to Jesus. And I'm sure you also have that moment. My wife and I, we joined a walking sticks. How many of you have done that? Have heard of it? Walking sticks are those group of, there's a group of people, about anywhere between 5 to 20 people. They will choose a location, they will go around walking, and together will walk around for anywhere between 5K to 11K. And I really enjoy that. This is a recent phenomenon for us because we managed to talk to people. And there are moments where Grace and I, we were able to kind of to be together. And because of this walking stick over here, there are moments that it opens my eyes up about my wife, that she is becoming more and more endearing to me. And the reason being, she didn't like to walk, to do exercise. For the longest time, I tried to drag her to do exercise and to do this and do that. to no avail. Sometimes she would go, and most times she would say, no, I prefer to stay at home. But in this case over here, she began to enjoy herself. In fact, now she would drag me out to do all this exercise and walking than more than I did. And there are moments when we begin to talk and share, and I felt that moment, there are things that we begin to share, make her very endearing to me more than ever. And I'm sure that you have that special moment with your nieces, nephews, and people of that sort of that that are special, even sometimes strangers. And this is what happened. But it basically reminds us that God, Jesus, loves us, both our weaknesses and our strength. And sometimes Jesus also demonstrates to us how much He cares for us in a moment that becomes very endearing to Him. And this is a story over here. Now, if you look at verse 18 over here, let me just read from verse 17. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran to Him and fell on his knees before Him and said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay, would you be kind enough to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19? Matthew chapter 19, it is the same incident of Jesus' encounter with the young ruler, but the thing I like is that chapter 19 of Matthew here describes a little bit about him, which is not mentioned in Mark chapter 10. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. Uh-huh. Apparently this one here does not fully describe what I want. Turn with me to Luke chapter. Instead, it's all the same description. Okay, here we go. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. I like to highlight certain thing about him, which is extremely important. Verse 18 says, you got it? A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Here is a further description about this person. He is what? A ruler. In other words, he is a person of authority. He has the legal power to make and to enforce laws that affect the ordinary people. It looks like he is not only this person over here, with all the description about him, he is unlike any other rulers. You know, like the tax collector, Matthew the tax collector, he has the authority. He is was the IRS person. He actually, because of his position, he used his position to earn a lot of money from people illegally. But in this case over here, even though he was a ruler, this guy looks like he exemplified what, in those days, very different type of person. And he is not the kind of person who says, "Do what I say, but don't do what I do." But he's a person who, over here, has the power to influence the life of others. Today, we look at people around and see. Lots of people who are very powerful. When they are very powerful, they usually get into their head that they are invisible. Have you heard of the person in North Korea who rules North Korea like him, like he is God? Kim Woo? Many people are suffering in Korea because she actually dictate how people are to live and how people are to worship, and whatever he wants to do, he does. And this person has little or no care for the subject except to rule with the kind of iron fists and to enrich himself. And we can see that political leaders of all sorts does that kind of thing because they can. We have seen in Zimbabwe, for instance, And we have seen in the Philippines one time under Marcos, because once you have the power, you have the authority, you don't care what people about the lives of others. The only thing that you care about basically is about yourself. And we have lots of political leaders in this country, including California, because they are powerful, they are also enriching themselves. In our working place, for instance, because there are some people who have they are in a position of power, like managers, supervisors, bosses that we are under, and some of them are so nasty and political, aren't they? So when you work under this, such a kind of person, you don't really enjoy your life living or be under that kind of situation. But this guy over here, he was completely different. He, like the scripture says, did not lord himself over the subjects, people. Instead, according to the verses that we know, he cares for them. He demonstrates God's principle in their lives. He was very honest. The second thing about this young person is, not only he was a person of power, Mark chapter 10. Would you be kind enough to turn to that passage again? 19 to 20. Good teacher, you know the commandments, Jesus said. First, do not murder. That is from the sixth commandment. Do not commit adultery. That is the seventh commandment. Do not steal, the eighth commandment. Do not bear false testimony, ninth commandment. And do not defraud. And honor your father and your mother. That's the fifth commandment. And when Jesus had said this, the teacher, declared, all these things here I have kept since I was a boy. In other words, the second thing is, not only this guy is very powerful, he is also very religious. He not only believed in God, but he was also obedient to his word, the laws of God, since he was young. It really reminds us that parents here, how important it is to train our children when they were young. Proverbs 22, verse 5 and 6 says, that tells us the importance of training them when they were young, because when they grow up, they do not forget the commandments of God. Unfortunately, today, people who are powerful, who may be rich, they are not very religious. And they do not care about what other people feel. Instead, they only care about themselves. With today's age over here, Ted had just mentioned about what's happening in the school shooting over here. It doesn't come as a real surprise with what is happening, because God has been kicked out of the classroom. God has been kicked out of the public square. People, even churches, a lot of people believe in Jesus, but somehow they do not really practice what they believe. So there is a lot of religions and religiosity going around, but without the truth in their hearts. And because of that, we have what you call a God is dead society. We practice as if God does not exist, and we don't care about whether or not it is important to believe in God. We are so-called in the very progressive scientific AIH. Little wonder we have a senseless shooting going around, and they continue to go around as if lives are not important. That is true. We are like animals. In Europe nowadays, because religion is not important, because God is completely out of the country, people are judges have to start prescribing laws saying that you cannot have any relationship with animals. Is this crazy? It's going very crazy, and it's going to get worse. I like this, But there is a movie that was going that was shown a while ago, and there's subsequently there was a follow-up with this kind of movies. Have you heard of the God Is Not Dead film? Yes, that was a very good movie, huh? How this person professor forced his student in such a way that unless you subscribe to his principle of that God is dead principle beliefs, then he is going to fail them. But eventually, he himself became a Christian because of what God did in his life. So it is therefore very important for us to revive and to pray for this country. Not so much of the revival of religion, but more so of the revival of a spiritual renewal of our relationship with God. So that this country is not being preoccupied by religious and religiosity, but more so by a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is the second principle, that this person over here is also very religious. Now, the third characteristic about this person is, not only is he a powerful person and rich, the third thing about him is verse 23 and 21 to 23. Mark chapter 10. It says over here, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you still lack, he says, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and follow me. Verse 22 says, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he has what? Great wealth. He is rich beyond beliefs. Now, because of what we've seen about him in terms of his religious practice, he is not like the tax collector in Matthew, that he actually earned his riches from illegal gains. It looks like somehow he practiced that, but God has blessed him with all these blessings over here because he was obedient to God. It doesn't have to be. God somehow has blessed regardless of who we are, but if we keep his commandments one way or another, even non-Christians, they also get blessings from God. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, says this. Verse 17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. In other words, because this person was religious, very careful to obey God, careful to bless the poor, being very generous in his life, God also enriched him beyond recognition. So much so that he has great wealth over here. Now, there is nothing wrong with having been blessed by God with riches. Riches, we should be thankful and say, God, thank you for providing me and bless me with all the riches, and we should not be constantly kind of belittle those that God has blessed with. We should thank God for them, because why? Those who have very little often have to worry about their financial situation. It is apparently noted by CBS in his studies, about 75% of Americans living from paychecks to paychecks. That is a very difficult life. You're just wondering what is the next meal going to come from. Riches, the scripture over here, we have many people who were very rich. Abraham was very rich. And many of the forefathers were blessed, and those today we are many Christians who are very rich. Now, over here, it is not therefore the teaching of the scripture that just because we are rich, that we have to sell everything and then follow Jesus Christ. It is not the teaching. It so happened over here, this person, his number one problem is what? Why did he leave Jesus? And because look at him, he was so desperate and knelt before Jesus and just, Jesus, tell me how I can inherit eternal life. He was willing to humble himself, do all these things here, and at the end, he was not willing to do the one thing. What was that? To give up his life, his riches for Jesus. It tells me this. It tells me that this guy, his number one problem is his love for money. It is nothing to do with money itself. The root of all evil is what? It's the love for money. In other words, money has become idol to him. Money has become the God in his life. Jesus Christ often challenges us in many different ways. For some of us, it could be power. In the family, for instance, husband and wife struggling. My wife and I, sometimes we're struggling over the smallest thing. Why? Because of pride. Me. I have to be the king of the household. I have to say the final word. And that could be the job situation that you are in. Boss often have to be, you know, even though you know that you are right, but because he is the boss, he has to say the, has to be the one who will oversee the final thing, even though he is wrong, right? And that could apply in many situations over here. And for some other people, the addictions of sex, pornography, has become number one problems, almost impossible to give up. And God says to you and I want to you to give up that evil that control your life. For some, possessions. I have a person that I was told that her husband told me, my wife buys all kinds of things from the internet. Whether she likes it or no, just want to have. And so he said, can I visit your house? He said, don't come to my house. You know why? Because the house is filled up with stuff that she doesn't need. Some people in their lives, they are so addicted to buying things and possess things that somehow God has been dethroned in their life and they become messy. And for others, you may have one addiction in your life. God is challenging you and said, give up that, because that addiction will ruin your life. And this is what happened to this young person. He is powerful. He practices kind lordship to others. He is very religious. He makes sure that he honors his parents. He makes sure that he doesn't sin against God. He tithes. He doesn't bear false testimony. He was very generous. But when it comes to giving up one thing that he has loved, he was not willing. So, what does it mean, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ? I would like to share with you two thoughts. One is, we must not allow all these things that are useful, beautiful, great blessings of God to control our lives. That is, the riches, power positions, our relationship with religious things that we do, or the money that we have to control our lives. And the reason why, once they do control our lives, God cannot work in our lives because they invade every area of our lives. Instead, we have to allow God to be preeminent in our life, the Lord of our life, rather than allow things to control our lives. Over here, we notice that he has everything, but yet he was not satisfied at all because they are only earthly things that are not supposed to fill his spiritual vacuum in his life. Only God can. So when he came to Jesus, he did the right thing. Many people come to Jesus, but they are not willing to give up that one thing. Over here, the number one thing that he also has to learn to give up is to realize that he cannot live an independent life without God, because the scripture says, we are all sinners, sinful. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, can forgive and take away all that sins and give us a new start in life. It is as if Jesus is saying to us, it is the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God, that can only set us free from all these addictions of life, earthly addictions. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is therefore so important for us to realize this, that Jesus is the one who can liberate us from life and can give us meaning. And the scripture says, when the truth sets you free, you truly will be free indeed. Free to enjoy power of when God has blessed us with. Free to be able to enjoy the blessings of riches God has blessing with us with. Free to be able to have that relationship with God and enjoy Him. Free to be able to be free in our age, whether we are young, middle age, or in our, what do you call, what would be a better word, in our, like my age, huh? I'm getting old gracefully, and not to having to constantly worry about our looks, not having to constantly worry about when will I die, what will happen to me when I die, but to be able to enjoy at whatever stage God has given us, to have that freedom of enjoyment with Him. The second thing is a reminder that all blessings are supposed to lead us to God, not to make us self-sufficient and reject God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10, says this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 says, about the from moving from the what you call from Egypt to the promised land. This is what Moses reminding the Jews. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given to you. Be careful not to forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands and his laws and his decrees that I am giving to you this day. Many who have enjoyed God's blessings have forgotten who God is and forgotten forgotten to be able to give thanks to God. Over here, therefore, it is therefore a reminder. Europe is a classical example. Europe started revivals of all kinds. They came to know Christ. There were revivals everywhere. In England and other parts of the world, in Europe. Yet today, they are the most godless society that we have, countries that we have ever witnessed. Hardened themselves towards the gospel of God. It is the hardest place to tell them about God who is all-powerful. Why? Because they have become proud in their hearts. And this nation are not spared. If we become proud and reject God, we will follow the same way too. Thirdly, for those of us who are blessed, not having to be like this young man to seek for the truth, it reminds us to treasure God's word and this beautiful relationship God has blessed us with, eternal life, life everlasting, life of love, life of faith, life of generosity, of kindness, of power, and then strength of God. God's presence in our life. So what does that mean? It means this. God has a privilege of giving us the privilege of knowing Him. Be sure to take time to enjoy Him personally. Secondly, to make sure that we also know God's Word and practice His Word. Because the more we practice His presence in our daily lives, God has a way of showing how special we are to Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much, Father, for all Your goodness and all Your faithfulness. Thank You for blessing us with so much of Your blessings. Above everything else, Lord, You have blessed us with Jesus Christ. We are so grateful, Father. Thank You, Lord, for who You are. We bless You and thank You for my dear brothers and sisters in Christ here. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit, Father, will continue to guide them and be with them. Lord, for those people who do not know You, I pray, Father, unlike this young man, they will come to know You. Because You, Father, by giving Your Son Jesus Christ, continue to demonstrate to us that You love us and You care for us. We thank You again for everything. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.